Title of this message is Men of Integrity According to the Book of Samuel. And there was a time when Samuel in chapter 10, he took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head. And he said, "It's because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance. When you've left me today, you'll find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin, and they'll tell you, the donkeys that you've been looking for, they've been found. And now your father's stopped worrying about the donkeys, and he's worried about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? After that, you'll come to the hill where the Philistine garrison is, and it'll happen that when you come to the city, you'll meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instruments, tambourines, and flutes, and harps, and they'll be prophesying. And Samuel's telling Saul, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. You'll be turned into another man. Is that not what God is doing with our hearts by His Spirit? Here, you'll be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs come on you that you do as the occasion demands. For God is with you. When we're in trials and afflictions, sometimes we have to do as the occasion demands, remembering that God is with us. You'll go down before me to Gilgal, and I'll come down to you and offer burnt offerings and peace offerings, and you'll wait 7 days for me until I come. Until I come to you and show you what you should do. Samuel was telling Saul. So it was when he turned back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart. Samuel 10, verse 9. God literally gave him another heart. And all the signs that Samuel described to him came to pass that day. When they came there from the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. This man of integrity, Saul, was appointed commander over God's inheritance. And God gave him another heart. Even men of integrity can make mistakes, right? Samuel called all the people together and he said to the children of Israel, God said that he brought you up out of Egypt and delivered you from the Egyptians, from the hand of all the kingdoms of those who oppressed you. But today, because of what Israel was requesting, you have rejected your God who himself saved you because Israel was asking for a king. They wanted a man to rule over them. They were asking for a king. But God himself who saved you from all your adversities and tribulations, you said to him, no, set a king over us. Now therefore, present yourselves before God by your tribes and clans. And chapter 11, verse 14, Samuel said, come, let's go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. To Saul, he said. And there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. They made sacrifices of peace offerings and burnt offerings to God, And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. Verse 22 says, "For the Lord will not forsake his people." Why? "For his great name's sake, because it pleased God to make you his people." It pleased God to make you his inheritance. That's why we are called. Samuel said, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against God by ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way." That's why we assemble here every Sabbath, to be taught the good and right way, right? "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart." That's what integrity is all about, serving God with all our heart. "For consider what great things he has done for you." Not only integrity, but gratitude and humility, right? Consider what great things he has done for you. That's what we can do when we fellowship. We can share the great things that God has done for each of us, individually and as a group. Yet, later on, Saul had reigned one year, and after 2 years, the Philistines gathered together to fight with 30,000 chariots. And Saul was in Gilgal, and the people followed him trembling. Here, this man of integrity had all Israel, 30,000 chariots, following him. And he had waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel didn't come. He didn't show up when he said he would. But Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me." And he offered the burnt offering. Saul was presumptuous. He said, "Oh, I better offer burnt offerings to God. Let me offer these burnt offerings and peace offerings." And he offered this burnt offering to God. Now it happened, as soon as he had finished and presenting the burnt offering, that the Philistines gathered together. And Saul said, "The Philistines are going to come down on me in Gilgal." His answer to Samuel, when Samuel said, "You offered the offering without me showing up? What did you do?" Saul said, "The Philistines were coming down, and I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You haven't kept the commandment of the Lord God that he commanded you. For now, God would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now, your kingdom will not continue, because the Lord God has sought for himself a man after his own heart, a man who wholeheartedly follows him, follows God. That's what God is looking for. A man after his own heart, a people who will wholeheartedly follow him. So God said to him, "I have been looking for someone after my own heart." And then later, Samuel said to Saul, "God sent me to anoint you as king over his people. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord, because God says, I will punish Amalek for what they did to Israel, how they ambushed them on the way when God had brought them out of Egypt." And Samuel said to Saul, "God says, go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Do not spare them. Kill man, woman, infant, nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, donkey. Wipe everything out. God wanted the Amalekites utterly destroyed. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he took Agag, the king, alive. But he utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. And Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings and lambs and everything that was good in their eyes. They were unwilling to destroy, but everything despised and worthless, they destroyed. They utterly got rid of it. So Samuel said to Saul, when you were little in your own eyes, when you were humble, when you were truly a man after God's own heart, acting with humility and integrity, when you were small in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And didn't God anoint you as king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission, and he told you to utterly destroy all these sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they're consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of God? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in God's sight? And Saul said to Samuel, but I did obey. And I went on the mission that God sent me on, and I brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, but I utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the plunder. He blamed it on the people. The people took the plunder and the sheep and the oxen and the best of the things that should have been destroyed so they could sacrifice to the Lord God. He connived this excuse to make him look good in his own eyes. And Samuel said, does God have such a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as he does in obeying his voice? God would much rather see your obedience and integrity and humility of heart. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as good as idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. That was his end of his rulership. And God provided himself a man after his own heart, a man of integrity. In chapter 16 of Samuel tells us about God saying to Samuel, how long are you going to mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. To whom I'm sending you? I'm sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite. So Samuel listened to God, and he went to Jesse. And God said to Samuel, don't look on appearance or physical stature, because I have refused anyone like that, that looks good in your eyes. Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is, out keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we'll not sit down until he comes. So Jesse sent and brought his youngest son, David. And David was ruddy, which means like reddish hair, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is the one. This is the young, this youngest son of Jesse is the one whom I have chosen. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers, right in front of the whole family. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. From that moment on, David had God's Spirit guiding and directing him. That's where his humility and integrity came from God's Spirit. Even to the point where when Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, camping in the Valley of Elah, and I think we drove by there when we were touring Israel during the feast last year, in the Valley of Elah, and they drew up together in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines were on the mountain on one side, and Israel was on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them, and a champion went out from the Philistines named Goliath. He was 6 cubits high. This man was between 9 and 10 feet high. Most commentaries seem to speculate that he was about 9 to 10 feet tall. No small guy. And the Philistines said, this giant, he said, I defy the armies of Israel. Uh-oh. He didn't know what was in store for him, opening his big mouth. Defying the armies of the Almighty God. Goliath said, give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. David was the youngest of Jesse's 8 sons. But David sometimes went and returned to and from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. But David got up in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. And he took everything and went as his dad Jesse commanded him and came to the camp where the army was. When the army was going out to fight and shouting for battle. And David said, when they asked him about his youth, when he saw this guy defying the armies of God, David said to them, the Lord who delivered me from the paw and the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine who's defying the armies of God. He told this to Saul when Saul was questioning his youth. You're just a kid. Some commentators believe he was only about 19 or 20 years old at the time. But Saul said to David, okay. When David said, God delivered me from the lion and the bear when I was snatching the sheep out of their mouth and saving the sheep. Saul told David, okay, go, and the Lord be with you. Even though Saul had gone through these difficult times, he still knew that God could be with David. And David said to the Philistines, you come to me with a sword and a spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He just called on his superpower. He just called on our superpower. John 14:13. Shows why this is true. in the words of Jesus himself, he said, John 14:13, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. John 14:14. This has got to be one of our most profound memory verses. I will do anything. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's what David was doing. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied, Goliath. This day, he's yelling this out as a youth to all these armies of the Philistines and this big giant. And he said, this day, God will deliver you into my hand, and I'll strike you and take your head from you. And this day, I'll give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. And now David tells them that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. God said, David said, I'll do this, and God will show you that he is our superpower. That all the earth may know, Samuel 37, verse 46, may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord doesn't save with sword and spear. God doesn't save with sword and spear. And he told them, for the battle is the Lord's. When we're in the midst of trials, we can recognize that we too have a superpower. And we can do what we're advised in Peter, 1 Peter 5:7, cast your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. We can cast our anxiety and our afflictions on him because we know he is our God and our superpower, and we belong with him, and he wants to dwell with us, in our hearts, and among us, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven. And he said, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So David prevailed over the Philistines with no sword, no shield, just a sling and a stone. And he struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in David's hand. So David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the Philistine's sheath, took it out of Goliath's sheath, and he cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. They hightailed it out of there. Now it came about after a while that Saul was observing all this, and he was a little jealous of David, as it tells us, but he was saying, now Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, right? And the thing pleased Saul. Why did it please Saul? Saul said, I'll give her to him that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. So Saul said to David again, you shall be my son-in-law today. And Saul said, this is what you tell David. The king doesn't want a dowry. Nothing but just 100 foreskins of the Philistines. To take vengeance on the king's enemies. But Saul, in his mind, he thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. So David arose and went. Look at how God was with him. David went and went to the Philistines, he and his men, and he killed 200 of the Philistines and brought their foreskins. So not only did he bring 100 foreskins, as Saul was asking, he brought double and gave them in full count to the king, that he might become the king's son-in-law. And then Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, as a wife. Thus Saul knew. He saw and he knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. But Saul was still more afraid of David, so Saul became David's enemy continually. What a sad state of affairs that was. Divisiveness in very families that should have been kind and caring to one another. Later in chapter 23, Samuel tells us of the time when David was told, saying, look, the Philistines are fighting against this town of Keilah, and they're robbing the threshing floors. And David, what was the first thing he did when they told him about this? David inquired of the Lord. He beseeched God and asked God, shall I go and attack the Philistines? And God answered him. God said to David, go attack the Philistines and save Keilah. But David's men, his 400 mighty men, they said, look, we're afraid here in Judah. How much more if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? And what do you think David did next? Then David inquired of the Lord once again. He went to God a second time about the same thing. And God answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. And David and his men went to Keilah, and they fought the Philistines and struck them with a mighty blow and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. You can see how God was working with this man of integrity, this man after God's own heart, because he was humble and small in his own eyes. Yet later, it happened that Saul was coming back from fighting the Philistines. It was told, hey, David is hiding in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Saul was going after him. He wanted to do malice to David and get rid of him. And Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men in the rocks of the wild goats. He came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. Saul went into a cave to take care of business, his physical needs. And David and his men, little did he know. You can just see God and Jesus Christ sitting on their throne. We're working these things out for David's favor. David and his men are in this cave, the same cave that Saul goes in to take care of his business. Saul went in to attend his needs, and David and his men were staying in the recesses of this. This was one big cave with all the men that David had with him. The men of David said to him, "Hey, this is the day. This is the time that God told you about. That God said, 'Behold, I'll deliver your enemies into your hand.' This is the day that you could do to him whatever seems good to you." And David got up from his spot in the cave and he snuck over and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And it happened after that. David said, "What did I do?" He felt bad. His heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed. See the integrity and the respect that he had. Even though Saul was a man of malice and wickedness, really, David had respect for him because he was the Lord's anointed. God forbid that I should do this to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing that he is the anointed of the Lord." So David restrained his servants. "Hold back, guys," with these words, didn't allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul came up from the cave and went out on his way. And David followed him out of the cave. He went out of the cave and called out to Saul, "My lord, the king, hey." When Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of the men who say that David's seeking your harm? Look, this day, your eyes, Saul, see that the Lord delivered you into my hand, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you. And I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.'" David had respect for the office that God had put Saul into, even though he was wicked. "Moreover, my father, see, yes, the corner of your robe is in my hand. For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and didn't kill you, know and see that there is neither evil or rebellion in my hand. I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between me and you, and let God avenge me on you, but my hand will not be against you." David was well acquainted with the verse that we know of in the Old Testament that says, God said, "Vengeance is mine." David would not take his own vengeance with his own hand because he knew God. He knew who God was and what God is all about. And God says, "Vengeance is mine." So it was when David finished speaking these words to Saul that Saul said, "Is that your voice, my son David?" Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. You show me this day that you've dealt well with me, for when God delivered you into my hand, you did not kill me." David demonstrated his faith and trust in God and his integrity by not stretching out his hand against one who was at the time his enemy. And Saul said, "For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore, may God reward you with good for what you have done to me this day." And now, listen to what Saul told him next. "Now I know indeed that you shall surely be king." Saul was admitting that he knew that David would become king. "You will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hand." That was the first time that David spared Saul's life, secretly cutting off a piece of his robe when he was in the cave. Now the Ziphites came up to Paul at Gibeah, and they were saying, "Isn't David hiding in this wilderness area opposite Jeshimon?" And Saul arose and went down to the wilderness, and he took 3,000 men of Israel with him to look for David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul was camping in the hill of Hakalah, which is opposite Jeshimon by the road. So Saul's camp is there with his 3,000 men by the road. They're camping by the road, and David stayed in the wilderness. And he saw that Saul was coming after him into this wilderness. So David and Abishai, his friend, came to them by night. And Saul was there laying, sleeping with the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground by his head. There he is by his sleeping bag, and he's got his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner and all the people laid around him. And Abishai says to David, "Look, David, they're all sleeping. He's fast asleep with the spear by his head." Abishai says, "God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now, therefore, please let me strike him once with the spear right to the earth. I won't have to strike him a second time. All I need is one blow." And David said to Abishai, "No, do not destroy him. For who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David's integrity had respect for the office that God had placed Saul in, even though he was evil. "Who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" And David also said, "As the Lord lives, God will strike him, for his day will come to die, or he'll go out to battle and perish in the battle." In other words, time and chance will take his life. "The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But please take the spear and the jug of water that are by his head, and let's go." So David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head, and they got away. And nobody saw or knew it, for they were all asleep. Why? Because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. God was with David wherever he went. God was helping David out. So he took the spear and the jug of water. And got away because God was making them sleep like logs there. So after that, David approached Saul and said to Saul, "Look, here's the king's spear. Let one of the men come and get it. May God repay every man for his righteousness and faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today. But I would not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. And indeed, as your life was valued in my eyes much this day, so let my life be valued in your eyes and the eyes of God, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. And Saul said to David, may you be blessed, my son David. Saul told him, he said, I recognize that you shall both do great things and also shall still prevail. This man of integrity, David, was given the blessing of this wicked Saul, who had lost his place as the king in Israel. And he blessed David, and he said, you shall both do great things and shall also prevail. So David went his way, and Saul returned to his place. So we can take these lessons from this man of integrity that another man of integrity, Samuel, preserved for us in God's word. And thankfully, we can be grateful that this word, who was, according to John, in the beginning, this word was with God, and this word was God, as John said. We can take this word with us and stand trusting, full of faith, trusting in the integrity of our God. Have a blessed Sabbath.